Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Seen some of you now for 3 days in a row, so it's good to see you again. Today is December 11th. That's a day that's special to me. It may not be to you, but as I was putting this lesson together and I wrote the date down, that's my grandmother's birthday, my late grandmother's birthday. She was born December 11th, 1913. And she passed away in June of 2009 at the age of 95. I grew up living right beside her for most of my life. So she was a great influence on my life, and I saw her every day until I went to the Air Force. So thinking of that, I quickly Googled 1913 to get some of the things that were happening during that year versus what's happening now. And the thing that popped up primarily were comparing prices. You know, 1913 was only 10 years after the Wright brothers flew at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina in 1903. That's hard to imagine for us, isn't it, the way airfare is now. But in 1913, 485,000 cars were made that entire year. In 2022, 485,000 cars are made every 15 days. It's amazing this transition from then until now. I don't want to tell you the rest of these, but I will. Bread was 5 cents a loaf. Milk was 35 cents a gallon. Eggs were 37 cents a dozen. Haircuts were 25 cents. And that probably got you a beard trim, too. Cars were an average of $1,500, and homes were an average of $3,200. That all sounds good, right? But the average income was $1,000 a year. So put all that in perspective, the average rent in 1913 was $25 a month. It doesn't sound like much, but if you only make $100 or $150 a month, comparatively, that was still significant. A lot of changes since 1913. And it's only been 109 years, but there's still a lot of changes. But there's two things that haven't changed, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Sin and the Savior. So that will be our two main points. Sin still exists, and sin is still deceptive, destructive, and it leads to death. The Savior is still the same. He is the truth, provides redemption, and leads to life. So we'll compare those as we go through. We're going to talk about sin and its attributes. I don't know if many of you know. You probably know the televangelist I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's in Houston, Texas, and he has 20,000 to 30,000 attendees each week at his services. He, in an interview, said that he does not preach about or discuss sin from the pulpit. He says, everyone knows they're a sinner. Why should I talk to them about it? They know already. So most of his sermons, well, all of his sermons are about feel-good type messages so people will leave feeling good about themselves. He doesn't want them leaving thinking that they're sinners and that's a bad thing. He wants them leaving feeling good. And it's amazing, right? It's working because his building is full, 20 to 30,000 every week. But sin is a Bible topic, and it's something that we need to talk about. Sin is deceptive. What does deception mean, really? It means giving an appearance or impression different from the true one, misleading. That started in Genesis 3:13, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The interesting thing there is, you see how she started the sentence? The serpent deceived me. Then she went to herself, and I ate. I don't know if any of you have had this issue with your children, but I know when I was raising mine, something would happen in a different room. I would go in, one would be crying, and I'd say, what happened? The first word out of their mouth was either he, she, or they did it. It was never started with, well, I hit him. I remember vividly one time Brittany said, Garrett, mistakenly walked into her right hand or something. It's funny how she was like six and she believed it. She thought I would too, but I didn't. But the point here is, Going against God is deception and a lie. And Satan, through the serpent, did that. He gave an impression that was different from the true one. She knew already what to do. God had told them, you can't eat of this tree. She knew. But the devil deceived her. You know, and it's easy for us to look back and say, I can't believe she was deceived. God had given her what they needed to know. But aren't we the same? We know sin and its consequences, but aren't we deceived when we fall into that sin? Somehow we believe that it's not as bad as it's going to be, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. We use faulty logic. The devil is still in the deceiving business. That's what he does. Romans 7:11 says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it killed me. Deception. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And one more scripture, Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Sin makes things look better than it is. And we're going to talk about a few here in just a minute to go through the deception. Alcohol, drugs, fornication, you name it. The devil deceives us into believing that it's all good and there are no ramifications for what we do. You know, Diane and I were talking the other day, watching TV. You can't watch anything hardly anymore, but the commercials now are getting terrible. The new commercial about this new drug shows lesbian couples and gay men not only holding hands, but kissing on TV. They are deceiving us or trying to make us think that is normal and acceptable. And what happens? Over time, people watch that and it becomes normal and acceptable. The deception's working, folks. I remember in the 90s when the characters on a show were gay, that was kind of an outlier. They started pressing the issue, and now we have commercials that are just right in our face, not hiding anything. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I read yesterday on Alabama.com that the Northern Alliance of one denomination lost 198 congregations this weekend in a vote because that group is splitting over this homosexual agenda that's going on within that religious group. The conservative side are breaking off because the others are accepting gay couples. They're accepting gay bishops and preachers. And the ones that aren't are breaking off. So deception, even in those who claim to be followers of God, the deception is working. Alcohol, it's glamorized. Used as a tool to tell our young folks especially, but all of us, that you have to have alcohol to have a good time. The new Twisted Tea commercial's out. It shows that young folks around a swimming pool or whatever, and they're just all dull and drab until they break out the alcohol. Then everybody's fine, and everybody's having a good time. So they try to make us think that it's better than it is. Do they show you the broken homes? Do they show you the violence that alcohol leads to? Do they show you the death and destruction? No, they only show you the good parts on TV, or the so-called good parts. Drive-through Wetumpka. All of us see billboards that says, I won $33,000 at the Wind Creek Casino. They're glamorizing the win, right? Does it tell you how much that person has spent over their lifetime to win that $33,000? Or how many other folks have gone broke for them to win the $33,000? Sin is deceptive. It deceives us into thinking things are okay when they're not. And the last one we'll talk about, it's the big debate that's going on in our country and around the world, abortion. Since Supreme Court changed that, it's just been a running point for all of our politicians. It's a talking point for everyone that has a voice, it seems. Women need choices. Women should have pro-choices about their bodies. You do have choices. Choose not to have the relations that cause the pregnancy, not to terminate the pregnancy. So there's choices, right? But sin has us believing that I can choose whatever I want, when I want, and there's no ramifications for it. Sin is deceptive. It's also destructive. What is destructive? You know, we have an idea in our mind, but destructive means to cause irreparable harm or damage, negative and unhelpful. Sin is harmful. We try to stay away from harm in our lives, right? In our daily lives, most of us. Some of us go looking for trouble, it seems, but, you know, we don't play with fire, we don't eat poisonous plants, we don't play with things that can cause great danger. Diane and I were walking through the woods the other day, and I said, I need another dirt bike now. She's like, no, you don't need a dirt bike. I said, yes, I do. But they're dangerous. They can harm me, but and destructive, because I know how I drive them. But sinful things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, they all have negative consequences. They're destructive, but we've talked about the devil is deceptive. He makes you think, oh, the destruction won't happen to you. It only happens to other people. The drunk driver who decides to drive home, he doesn't think it's going to happen to him. The spouse who cheats, they think no one will know. The businessman who uses unethical or immoral standards in business, they think, well, no one will know that. God knows that. He knows all of those things. And you may say, well, we're Christians. We don't do those things anyway. You're right. We shouldn't be doing those things. But what about the Christian who doesn't live like he should? Uses language that he shouldn't use, consumes social alcohol, those things that the world has deceived us into thinking is okay for a Christian to do and makes us, you know, like everyone else, not different, but like everyone else. God's word is clear about sin and its destructive nature. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Clear, leaves no question. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be go in thereby. Many have been deceived that the destruction will not be for them. And Jesus in this passage says, depart from me, I never knew you. So the destruction is lifelong, eternity in hell. 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The interesting part about this verse is how it says it lists many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men and lead to destruction. It's those things that we think we want. It's been said that sin takes us farther than we want to go and keeps us longer than we wanted to stay. Isn't that a true statement? You think about it. You see folks who end up off in sin. You talk to them. Most of them would say, I never intended that to happen. I never did. I just went in once, and this is where we ended up. Sin makes things look good, and it hides the consequences, the destruction from our view. But we as Christians need to know there are consequences for our actions, and sin leads to death. Genesis 2:17 says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. God gave clear, defined instructions. Do you think Adam and Eve understood that? Absolutely. But the serpent deceived her. And then what did she say that we read earlier? The serpent deceived me, and I did eat. Sin leads to death. Romans 5:12, therefore just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all been deceived by the evil one. We've all given in to temptation. We've all sinned. But we need to reflect on how we're living. As Christians, what does Romans tell us? We are dead to sin. We no longer live therein, so we're changed. We're different. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. This is a passage that has always intrigued me, and I like the older versions, the translations that give me the opportunity to use it as a drug, LSD. Lust equals sin equals death. Newer translations say desires sin and death, but the King James says lust. James 1, 14, 15 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, lust, and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. When we sin, we have a penalty that we can't pay. We sing songs about that, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes, but we can't pay the debt that sin causes in our life. We can't. The destruction, we can't stop that destruction without help. And that help is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we talked about sin and how it's deceptive, how it's destructive, and how it leads to death. Now we're going to talk about the Savior who provides the way out of that trap that we oftentimes find ourselves in. We began the discussion with sin is deceptive. This time we will talk about how Jesus is the complete opposite of that. He is the truth. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. No deception in him at all. And as Terry read, John 18:37, Pilate asked him the question, and Jesus said, for this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Paul would say in Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is the truth. He is the complete opposite of the deceiver. Jesus gives us the truth and exactly what we need to get to the Father, because he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the personification of the truth. Now, the next question that comes up when you're talking to people in the world oftentimes is, can there be or is there absolute truth? As Christians, we say there is absolute truth, and it's God's word. God is clear. In John 8:32, it's the truth that sets us free. There's absolute truth, and we need to, as David talked about in Bible class this morning, we need to study our Bibles and know how to expound that truth and how to espouse it to other people and talk to them, because they will ask that question. Well, your truth is your truth, my truth, and you know, maybe the real truth is somewhere in the middle. The Bible is very clear that Jesus is the truth and that there's absolute truth, and we don't have to be deceived. We talked about sin being destructive. On the contrast to that is Jesus is redemption, redemptive, and we sang a couple of songs about it before the sermon. Redeemed, and how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus provides redemption. Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Another question we get asked a lot about, members of the church get asked, is you guys don't believe in grace. Yes, we do. The Bible clearly says that we're saved by grace through faith. This verse says that we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We teach and preach the word, and the word says we are saved by grace. So we don't need to be afraid to talk about grace, because it's through God's grace that we can be saved and through our obedience. Now, we have to ensure that we follow up the discussion and that we have to obey and do what God asks us to do. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We talked about that penalty that sin requires and that we couldn't pay it. Christ paid it. We sing songs like, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. We sing another song, I gave my life for thee. that thou might ransom be. He was our ransom. He paid that penalty for us. His death on the cross redeemed us from our sin. The blood that was shed cleanses us through our obedience to the gospel. And in the old rugged cross, there's a phrase that we sing a lot, and I think that, and I know at least for me, I don't think of it enough, and I don't meditate on it enough. Do we cherish the old rugged cross? That's our redemption. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. They talk about gold and silver is corruptible. You know, gold is one of the things people are investing in now because it has holding its value better than other things. But gold is still corruptible. It's a thing of this earth. This tells us that the blood of Christ is the most precious thing that's ever been given. Ever. And I think that we need to remember that we have been bought by that blood and redeemed by that precious blood of the Lamb. And if we remember that and live that every day, we should be happy people. We should be. Because that is the blessing that we have in Christ. Sin results in destruction, but Christ provides redemption. And our final contrast today is this. We talked about how sin leads to death, and it's our final point. And one person asked me, will you finish in time to get us to the Mexican restaurant early? So maybe we will. But we talked about how sin leads to death, but Jesus leads to life. The Savior leads to life. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. His resurrection from the grave provides us that eternal life. 2 Timothy 1:10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have life through the gospel, through Jesus' gift on the cross for us. If we obey the gospel, we can have that life and immortality. And the last two scriptures we'll read, 1 John 5:11-12, and this is a testimony that God has given us. Eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He does not have the Son does not have life. So, do you have the Son? This clearly tells us that he who has the Son has life. In him is life, and that's the only place that we have that life, is in Christ. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That sums it up perfectly and succinctly. Sin is deceptive, destructive, and leads to death. The Savior is the truth, redeems, and provides life. Are you in the Savior today? That's the question. If you're not, you're headed for death. If you are, you have life. Today we have a choice. We can serve sin, or we can serve the Savior. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, all things are ready. If you believe, willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ as your Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sins so you can enter into Christ, into that life, we will be happy to help you with that today. If you are a Christian and you have fallen away and you've been entangled in sin that leads to destruction, if you've been deceived by the evil one, if you come back today, you can be restored. If there's anything that we can do for you today, please come forward as we stand and sing.